I told, I might may have told the church, I don't know, I think I told maybe Brother Steve and Brother Doug today, that if the Lord will allow, I'm going to do my best to stay with the book of 1 John and 1 Peter and preach through 1 John the best I can, if the Lord will help me, on Tuesday night, or Wednesday nights rather, and then somebody said, I wish you would preach it on Tuesday night, amen. And then preach through 1 Peter on Sunday night and try to leave Sunday morning open for the Lord's leadership there. And you pray for me that God will help me as I want to get back into these studies. And sometimes it's difficult to find the time to try to study enough to preach through a book verse by verse and especially two books verse by verse. But I hope the Lord will help us. And I know there's some of you here tonight that believe that 1 John is a book that is just all love. But I'm going to tell you something. There's some pretty tough scriptures in 1 John. What about this one? Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Oh, somebody said that's not a very tough verse. A whole lot tougher than most of us think. He says if we don't keep His commandments, we don't know Him. Amen. And there's a lot said in verses of Scripture if you'll just reverse them and look at them and think about them a little while. All right, 1 John and chapter number 2 tonight, please. 1 John chapter number 2. And Brother Steve told me that we got the wrong lights to put up here, because the ones we put up there were not conducive to be covered up with insulation. And my reply was, we got the right ones. The idiot that took them back just cost us several thousand dollars. No, that's just a joke. Now, y'all can laugh. Y'all catch up after a while. All right, 1 John chapter number 2, and I want to read the first two verses in the chapter. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. Notice that it didn't say, and He is a propitiation for our sins, not past tense. The propitiation for our sins, present tense. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that. And I'll do my best to preach with what zeal I can tonight. And with what spirit I can possibly preach with, okay? So you pray for me and let's pray together. Our Father, I'm thankful tonight, Lord, for the privilege it's been ours to be in the house of God. I'm thankful for the Word of God that You've given us to be a lamp unto our feet, Lord, and a light unto our path. I thank You for the way it corrects us and chastens us, comforts us. I thank You, Lord, for the God that wrote this book and for the Lord Jesus that fulfilled it all. I thank You for the privilege tonight of being saved and being a child of God, being called to preach. And Lord, because I'm called, I pray now that You'll give the power, the liberty, and the unction that I need tonight to preach to Your people. May our hearts be tender and open, receptive to the Word of God and to Your will for our lives. I do pray that You'll change us, that You'll shape us and make us and mold us after the will of God into the image of the Lord Jesus. There's those here lost. I pray that the Holy Spirit would bring conviction that they might be saved by the grace of God. May we all submit ourselves unto Thy will and be sensitive tonight to the Spirit of God. And Father, we'll thank You for all that is accomplished, for You're worthy of our praise and thanksgiving in Christ's name. Amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Now, I want to take these verses tonight. Don't get too stirred up now, but I want to take these two verses tonight and preach on the thought. You've heard the saying, to be or not to be. That is the question. I want to preach tonight on this thought, to sin or not to sin. That is the question. And that is the question that's before us in these verses. To sin or not to sin. He just said, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But he turns right around and says, my little children, write these things unto you, that ye sin not. Then he turns right around and says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So I want to try to preach for a little while, if God will help me on that thought, to sin or not to sin. That is the question. You know, there's not much preaching being done on sin these days. There's a lot of men claim they preach on sin until you visit where they're preaching. Then you find out that most of their sin preaching they preach somewhere besides in their own pulpit. And there's not much preaching on sin. And yet the Bible said that it was our sin that nailed Christ to the cross. And the wages of sin is still death. It's still sin that sends a soul to hell. And if it's so, and it is, then there should be preaching on it. And besides that, Christ was made to be sin for us. And if he was made to be sin for us, then we should know why he was made to be sin for us. And we should preach on sin, and people need to be sensitive to sin. There's not much sensitivity to sin in our generation. That is to say that we're not aware of it. It's on every hand, and it's very visible and noticeable. And yet it seems like people pay very little attention to it, and then it doesn't bother us. But you know, the Lord, the Bible said, God hates sin. Amen. And if he hates sin, those of us that are saved by the grace of God need not fall short of believing what our God believes and hating what he hates and loving what he hates. And he does hate sin, ladies and gentlemen. Now, let me just begin by saying, by way of introduction, and remind you that this is the second time that John uses this phrase, these things write I unto you. The first time he said that was in chapter 1 and verse number 4. When he said, these things write I unto you, that your joy may be full. And there he's talking about joy. And certainly John wanted his people that he's writing to have real joy of the Lord. But he turns right around here and says that he's writing these things that we sin not. And John's got enough sense to realize that there cannot be real joy in our Christian life as long as we're entertaining sin. You can't hang on to sin with one hand and the Lord with the other and expect to have joy in your Christian life. They're not conducive one to another. They're not conducive one to another. And so he writes that we sin not. But here it is used in regard to sin, and he says that we ought not to sin. And it is not a continuous repetition of sin which is in view here, but a single past act. It is a single and past act of sin that he's referring about. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but notice he didn't say sinneth. He said sin. A single past sin is what he's got in mind here. In other words, he's not saying that God's people can get down in their sin and wallow in that sin. He's referring to one single past sin. My little children, these things write we unto you, or write unto you, that ye sin not, that you're not overtaken and caught up in sin. He's not talking about repetitious. I think God's people today, though, have the idea that they can sin and live in the repetition of that sin. That is, in other words, they can nip a little and get by with it and keep on nipping. Now, that's just a crude illustration. But for us here, you know, there's many other things. I don't think there's anybody here that's going to go out tomorrow and get drunk. And I hope there's nobody here going out tomorrow and commit adultery. But I wonder about the sin that we are guilty of. And I wonder about the repetition of those sins that we're guilty of. Come on now, somebody say amen. Apparently, there is such a thing as repetitious sin. In other words, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to that man it is sin. If you know that it's not right to smoke cigarettes, then you are sinning against God in a repetitious way when you continue to put that weed between your lips. Now, I'd like to take some of you over and show you pictures of my brother. And let you look at the sores that is broken out around his mouth and the condition that he is in physically. And I personally believe I know why he's in that condition. Every time you saw him, he had that skull in his back pocket and a little pinch between the cheek and the gum. Somebody said, "You really believe that stuff causes cancer?" They say it does. So why in heaven's name would somebody want to put something in their mouth that they know is going to, that can cause cancer? Somebody said, "Well, I know Joe Blow has been dipping it for years and he's not got cancer yet." Well, my brother dipped it for a long time and he does have cancer. And we know that putting that weed between your mouth will cause cancer. May I say to you that, hey, come on, we're talking about repetitious sin. Can I remind you that coming to church without being prepared in our heart in a repetitious way is sin against God? I'm telling you, we have forgotten what sin is today. Sin is a matter of the heart, ladies and gentlemen. It is more than watching television and dressing improperly and having long hair, and I'm not in favor of any of that. But I'm telling you, the problem in our churches today is not the outward appearance of man, but is that hidden sin of the heart that man has conceived in his own heart and tried to hide from Almighty God and repetitiously commits that sin in his own heart. That's what our problem is today. Amen. Somebody say amen besides Brother Steve. Hallelujah. It's not a continuous, repetition of sin that is in view here. But it's a single past act. Notice the tense of the verb. He did not say sinneth, but sin. While God makes no allowance for sin, He does make provision for it. These things, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. God does not make one allowance for sin. In other words, God will not let you sin and get by with it. There's no allowance made, but there is a provision for it. We haven't, but if any man sin, but if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Now, I don't go along with what Mr. Pink said about that verse. You got to watch who you're reading after. And I love Arthur Pink, but he said the sins of the whole world there didn't mean the sins of the whole world. It just meant the sins of God's people, the elect. Come on now. Don't be changing the Bible around on me like that. When it says the sins of the whole world, it means the sins of the whole world. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. For on the one hand, now listen carefully, He does make a provision for it. Therefore, we must not sin that grace may abound. But when or if we have sinned, we must make use of abounding grace. Amen. We do not sin. The Bible said where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And we do not sin that grace may abound. But if we have sinned, we better make use of God's abounding grace. And He has made it available. What I'm simply saying tonight, and I've got to get it across somehow, that we cannot go out here and live in sin and constantly commit sin and then go right back to that sin and back to that sin and back to that sin, whatever it may be, and believe that God has forgotten all about it. He's not forgotten about it. He's not forgotten about it. What about that old animosity in your heart? What about that old haughty spirit? What about that pride that we have in our hearts? Come on now. What about our laziness? What about us coming to church, as I said, unprepared? Hey, and come on now. We are always prepared to jump on somebody about their sin, but we fail to see our own sin. I'm amazed at people that can sit in the church in open sin and then cross somebody because of their sin. I'm telling you, we all better get the beam out of our own eye before we try to pull the mold out of somebody else's eye.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's right. Praise God. Hey, somebody say amen or oh me.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Thank you, Brother Steve. Now I'm going to tell you something. I know how to preach against my family when they sin too. And I have and I will and I do. Do I have to call names? Do I have to specifically call names of everybody that's in sin? If I'm preaching against a sin in the church, do I have to call every name in the church that's involved in that sin to get it across? If you think I do, I can and I will. And it may not be pretty in your home front. Amen. Sin. Friend, I'm telling you, and it's killing us. The sin of death has got a grip on us. And we come to church like there's nothing wrong. And I'm telling you, there's a lot wrong somewhere. And it's not outwardly, so it must be inwardly. And I'm going to do my best plan through this book to root it out one way or the other. Some of us is either going to get in, get out, get run over, get right, or do something, because I am going to plow your tater patch on your sin.
Amen.
Amen. Sin's the only thing I know that'll deprive us of the blessings of God. Ignorance won't. Sin will. That's right.
Amen.
It will. Is anybody still listening? Now listen carefully. On the one hand, it wasn't their affections that clave to sin, but sin which did cleave to their affections. That's our problem today. It's not our affections. It's not our love for Christ. That it's not, I don't know how to get it out. I'm doing my best to get it out. You pray for me, God will help me get it out the way I want to. It is not our affections that is cleaving to sin, but it is sin that is cleaving to our affections. And somehow we've got to shake it. You know, just like old Samson would get up and shake the Philistines. Somehow we're going to have to shake sin from our affections. Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? I'm telling you that sin is coming between us and our love for Christ. Sin is coming between us and our love for the church.
Sin is coming between us and our love for worship. Sin is coming between us and our love for praise. Everybody in here knows that it's right to praise the Lord and worship God. Everybody knows it's right to pray. Everybody knows it's right to live right. But somehow we find it impossible to do that.
And that sin is, what did he say? The hand of the Lord is not shortened that he cannot save. But your sins have hid his face from you, and your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. And that's where we're living today.
Amen.
That's exactly where we're living today. Thank you, Benny. Somebody else ought to say amen. Now notice carefully. This is why God's Word, listen now, I'll get to the message in a minute. This is why God's Word must be deeply rooted in our affection, that we might not sin against God. He said in Psalm 119:11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God. Now, if we're living in sin in the church, then apparently we have failed to hide God's word in our heart. For the psalmist said, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. And if we're grounded and rooted in the Word of God, and His Word is grounded and rooted in our affections for Him, I'm telling you that is a hard bond to separate. The devil, the sin, the world, and the flesh will have a hard time separating our affections and the Word of God if we'll get in that Bible and hide that Word in our heart like we ought to. I'll get a hold of that a little bit. I hope so. And I said, you made somebody mad. I hope I did. If I didn't, I missed my point. I'm trying to. Sometimes you got to get mad to get right. Now, if God's Word is deeply rooted in our affections, a holy conduct will result from it. If God's Word is rooted in our affections, a holy conduct will result from that. We'll conduct ourselves in a holy manner and be a holy people. I fear for the generation that we're living in. I really do. Now, I'm telling you, I've said this a number of times. I won't say it to you again tonight. But if somebody would have told me 10 years ago that we'd have been living where we're living tonight, I'd have never believed it. But, hey, we just might as well get down where the truth is. We all, every one of us in here, we're not ignorant to the fact that there is a problem. There is a problem. So let's together, you and me together, seek out that problem. Together. I love you. I hope you love me. Let's seek out the problem together. If it's in my life, hallelujah to God, I want to get it right. If it's in your life, I know you want to get it right. So let's do our best to seek out the problem and get it right. And get down the road with God. Go on and serve the Lord. Amen. Somebody said, well, there ain't many of us left. He didn't promise us very many. No, I didn't have very many. Praise God, if we can get out of here with the load we got, I'll be happy. Amen. He didn't promise us a big load. Jesus didn't have a big load. Now, listen carefully to what I'm going to say. Even though God has made provisions for our sin, He still demands us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. He also demands us to cease to do evil and learn to do well. And we'll do that if we got His Word rooted in our heart. Now listen carefully. I got 3 points and a poem and we're out of here. Stay with me real fast now. And I'm going to preach this scripture to you. Notice the affections of the apostle. He says, my little children. My, what love. What affection he has. Now, I doubted if I'm quite that affectionate. I would to God that I was, but I doubt that I am. But I think one reason that made him this affectionate, that he
He realized the struggle they were involved in. My little children, I write these things unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, John knew they were in a struggle. And I'm telling you that if you're saved by the grace of God, and you're in a struggle tonight, I'm in a struggle tonight, we're all in a struggle tonight. I'm telling you, this thing of living for God is a fight to the finish. And I'm telling you, it's a death fight. It is a fight to death. And that'll soak in on you after a while. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about physical death. It is a fight to the death. Either you're going to win it spiritually and go to hell, or some of you will drop by the wayside without being saved. You'll live it spiritually and go to heaven, or some of you will fail to get saved and fall by the wayside and die and go to hell, one of the two. It's a death fight that we're in. It's a fight to the finish, friend. Amen. You better believe it is. We're in a struggle. Notice what Paul said in Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. I want everybody to notice what I'm getting ready to say. The things that you cannot do are not the works of the spirit. They are the works of the flesh. Come on in the house now. The spirit and the flesh are contrary one to the other. And you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, hey, I'd hate to think that the Bible said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And then I'd have to go out here and repetitiously live in sin every day of my life. Something going wrong in the field, friend. If that's the case, it's a struggle. I'm telling you, that old flesh, that old carcass you're dragging around is a flesh. And John realized that. That's why he was sympathetic with his people. And I'm telling you, I believe it or not, I'm trying to be sympathetic because I'm in the same basket you're in. I don't want to be like the kettle calling the pot black. We're in the same boat. I've got the same flesh that you got. Somebody said, no, mine's different. No, it is not. It's the same flesh. And we're all in that struggle. And God knew they were in that struggle. That's why He tried to be kind and considerate and show some affection and some love to those people. Now, I'm telling you, with all the love that I got in my heart, I want you right with God. Brethren, you have not offended me. I hope I have not offended you. I want you right with God. You know why? You're missing the joy of being saved. Amen. We're missing the power of God. We're missing the blessings of the Lord. We can't even come to church and sing anymore, because there's no spirit here. And I may preach Sunday morning on why there ain't no spirit here. Anybody listening? He knew the struggle that they were in. That's why he wrote to them that way. Not only did he realize the struggle, but he realized the strength of sin. He said, but if any man sin. You think sin's something to play with? People today think they can draw just as close up to sin and get by with it. People today, and I know it's in the heart, but people today want to dress just as close to the world as they can in their dress. I know preachers that's got the idea that as long as you dress right when you come to church, that's all that matters. No, I think you got to dress right all the time. That's what matters. Anybody listening? The strength of sin. It's like a magnet, friend. It'll pull at you. You men in here, if you've got an ounce of man in you, you're not going to convince me that these, almost said a bad word, these women that are running around half naked. Go tell me the devil don't tell you take another look. I know better. Sin is strong. Satan is strong. And God knew that. My little children, I'm writing to you that you sin not, but hey, God's not made an allowance for that sin, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And guess what? I never saw this in no day. Jesus Christ the righteous. You know why He put the righteous on the end of that? He could have just said Jesus Christ and it had been right. Because we're unrighteous. And our sin would have been unrighteous. But we have a righteous advocate at the right hand of God. Somebody say amen and hallelujah. We've got a lawyer that will plead our case at the right hand of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, he realizes the strength of sin, but he also realizes the Savior's power. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Get this now. Him being seated at God's right hand implies that he is possessed with power and authority. Hallelujah to God. Oh, what a Savior is mine. It didn't end on the cross. Praise God, He ascended back to the right hand of the Father. Thank God He's got power at the right hand of God to forgive sins of His people and to plead our case to the Father. Now I'll tell you, He's never lost a case battle yet. Amen. Never lost a court battle. Not one has He ever lost. Not one prayer that He ever prayed did the Father not answer for Him. Not one. Thank God. Oh, yes, we've got an advocate, a lawyer. That's literally what that means, a lawyer. I saw a man today, uptown. He said, I'm looking to buy a gun. I said, is that right? I said, why are you wanting to buy a gun? He said, because I'm going to be a criminal, what do they call him? Not a defense lawyer. He ain't going to defend him. He going to prosecute him. And I said, why would you want a gun? He said, I've heard tell some of them boys want to come after you. I'm going to tell you, he might lose a case every now and then. But there's never been a child of God, not one, that ever sinned and went to the advocate. That the advocate lost that battle, hallelujah to God. Hey, and the accuser of the brethren is right there, accusing us every minute of the way. But I'm telling you that we've got an advocate that's got power and authority at the right hand of God. Hey, who is our mediator? The man, Christ Jesus, praise God. I'm glad, thank God, there's a perfect man at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Somebody said he's God. You got it right, but he's man too. Perfect man at that. Hallelujah to God. He makes the perfect advocate. Never sinned, couldn't sin, wouldn't sin, didn't no sin that was made to be sin hit our sin. Thank God! Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I could preach if y'all would help me. But I'm telling you, you're beyond help tonight. Now, the Savior's power. He defends us by securing our rights as His ransomed people. We are His ransomed, my little children. Father, they're mine. Well, how sayest thou? I purchased them. With what? My own blood. Case dismissed. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. But if any man sin,
We've got an advocate with the Father. Woo! That may not do anything for you, but I just about turned cartwheel. Now, not only the affections of the apostle, but I want us to look at the aim of the Christian. The aim. What are you aiming at tonight? Some of you like to be out aiming at a deer. What are you aiming at in your Christian life? Most of us just drag along and try to do the best we can. But do we have a goal in mind? Our aim should be that we sin not. That should be our aim, mine and yours. That we do not sin. We should labor to it. Strive to refrain from any kind of sin. Be sensitive to it. Be knowledgeable about it. Recognize it. Know what sin is. Shun it. Stay away from it. If there's somebody you know and they're in sin, stay away from them. You are sinning if you hang around them and you know they're in sin. And you know they're not right. You're sinning! Amen. Get over and preach a little bit. Everybody listening now? We're talking about sin and it's real. We need to be sensitive enough to it to know what it is. Do you laugh at dirty jokes? Or do you like to tell them? Do you hang around with people that do? And you stand around somebody that's drinking beer and it not bother you? And you listen to their music? I can't stomach it. I can't even stomach the ads that they have on XM radio. They want to advertise some things on there that I wouldn't even talk about. And it's not vulgarity. Just advertisements. I just... Come on now. What is our aim? That you sin not. Now listen carefully. I'm trying to hurry the best I can. But I think this needs to be preached. The aim of the Christian. You realize that there is a willful sin. A willful sin. That is stubbornly or by design or with a set purpose. A willful sin. Hebrews 10:26. But if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Can you get a hold of that? If we sin a sin that we have received knowledge about and know better than, that Bible said there's no more sacrifice for that sin. I'm not talking to preaching you about a light thing tonight, ladies and gentlemen. What few of us they are here. Do you think if I preach against adultery and you go out and commit adultery, Christ is going to come back and die for that sin again? Not on your life, friend. It's a willful sin. Go out and do what you know is wrong. Knowingly know is sin against God. There remaineth no more sacrifice. Christ will not die for that sin again. I think there's a whole lot folks are going to face. Why do you think we're going to have a judgment seat?
Some will be saved, yet so is by fire. I don't want to be saved that way.
Are we having fun tonight? Hallelujah. There's a willful sin. That willful sin trods under its feet the Son of God, according to the book of Hebrews. That willful sin counts the blood of His covenant as an unholy thing, according to the book of Hebrews. That willful sin does despite to the Spirit of grace, according to the book of Hebrews. Despite. In other words, it despises the Spirit of God. You know why it does? Because it's contrary to the Spirit of God. Everybody, I'm going to give you two willful sins. Number one was Ananias and Sapphira. When Peter asked both of them, did you sell that land for so much? Yeah, so much. They lied to God. Willfully lied to God. And I'm going to tell you, friend, they had a funeral and didn't even call the undertaker. They carried them. The man first, and about a few hours later, the woman in with asked her the same question, and she dropped dead at Peter's feet, and they drug her out. They sinned willfully. There remained no more sacrifice for that sin. God help us. Amen. See, now God will deal with our ignorance. But I'm telling you, like I said, if we sin willfully, after that we've received the knowledge of the truth. God understands ignorance. But he doesn't understand deliberate, willful sin. And what about Kadesh Barnea? When they got to Kadesh. Oh, Moses said, don't go up now. God's not up there. Oh yeah, we'll go up. And they presumed upon God, folks. They sinned willfully against God. You know what happened when they went up? The enemy sent them back fast. No wonder we can't. You reckon that's why we can't stand against our enemies today? Is because we're sinning willfully against those things that we know is wrong. And yet, we repetitiously continue to do those things. Whether it be outward or whether it be inward, we continue to do it. Now, secondly, there is a wanton sin to live carelessly and without restraint. The Bible said, and Amnon was sore vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. That's pretty reckless if you ask me. Pretty careless. He was enticed by a friend. Now I want you to get a hold of this. And then after he got what he thought he wanted, he didn't want what he got after he got it. Amen. Wonder how many men have done that today. Found them a little bride and thought they wanted it and then found out they didn't want her after they got her. Amen. Exactly what happened to Amnon. Pretty serious thing. Pretty serious thing. Man, I'm telling you, when you married her, you married her. And bless your heart, you better treat her right. You better treat her like she's your wife. Somebody said, well, I'll treat her any way I want to. And God might treat you any way God wants to. And you won't stop Him. I believe that is one union saved folk are bound to. And I'm here to tell you that God's not going to tolerate abuse on either hand for nobody. I told Benny and I meant it. He is my boy. And I meant what I told him. Angie's not my daughter, but I told him, you ever lay a hand on her and I'll beat your butt till you can't walk, boy. And I'd do it if I had to take a two before. A man lay a hand on a woman stinks. Man that would hit a woman ought to be took out by the vigilantes and horsewhipped. Come on the house.
Amen.
Well, she ain't what I thought she ought to be. Well, maybe you ain't what she thought you ought to be. I know Miss Hall got the perfect husband. God only made one of us. Seriously, men, we better make the best of our marriages. We're bound by a tighter cord than signing a little piece of paper at the courthouse. We're bound by God's vows. Listen carefully, I won't be much longer. Now, there is a willing sin, having the mind inclined like Achan when he took the accursed thing, knowing better, yet he took it. One sin. One sin. I would say that's all. They stoned him and burned him. One sin. I got thinking about that today. Now, this may not be right. You take this any way you want to. You can take it or leave it. I'm not saying it's truth. Okay? But why did they stone him to death then set him on fire? I got to praying about that today. Now, here's the answer I got, and it may not be right. He was one of the Jews. He'd come across Jordan. He had been circumcised. He is a child of God. Right or wrong? They stoned him and he died. And I believe when they burned him, he was a picture of being saved, yet so as by fire. That's what I think. Now, I might be wrong in that, but that's a little nugget. You can write that down if you want to. There's no other reason to burn him that I can think of. Now, I'm not saying that's exactly right. One more thing and I'm done. The advocate that God has provided. These things write unto you that you sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. As our advocate, Christ appeases God's anger and secures His favor. Do you realize that when we sin, it angers God? But the Son of God, as our mediator, appeases the Father. And then the Father shows favor to us. Boys, that's, if you could get a hold of that, that's the most wonderful thing in all the world. To know that that even if we sin against God and go to our advocate, that we have a perfect man at the right hand of God that can appease the anger of God. God raises up His sin. But our advocate raises up and appeases the anger of God and then shows favor to us. Lord, have mercy. What grace. What love. What pity on His children. You realize God pities us tonight. Even in our cold, backslidden condition, God pities us as His little children. I'm just about done. As an illustration for that, when Israel had sinned against God in Exodus 32, Moses said, "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written." Moses said, "Lord, if you won't forgive them, just take my life instead." That's exactly what Jesus done. He said, "Father, forgive them. For I gave my life in their place. And if they'd sinned, I'm their advocate now.
Amen.
I died for them. I died in their place. If you won't forgive them, Father, then blot me, your only begotten Son, out of the book of life." You think God's going to do that? Never in a trillion years. Jesus always does those things that please Him. One more statement and I'm done. John is not, and by the way, as an advocate, John is not referring to what Christ was in His death, but what He is
as our mediator, meeting our present needs. Present needs. He'll meet them. Let's stand together. I've tried to preach tonight. I hope I hadn't really offended anybody when you preach on sin. It's hard to...